Are you looking to optimize your mindset and lifestyle for success in today's business world? You're in the right place. This is where you get to build your freedom through promoting through Facebook and selling on Amazon. Welcome to Actualize Freedom with your hosts, Wilson and Danny.
This is Actualized Freedom, the no bullshit podcast for hacking your freedom through selling on Amazon and lifestyle optimization. My name is Danny Carlson.
And my name is Wilson Lee. Today we're going to be sharing with you about the basic product research, the criteria, the metrics, the reviews, how many is too many. We're going to be talking about how to analyze your quality of the competitors and setting weekly goals.
Okay, so let's jump right into the basic criteria and metrics. We went over a few of these last episode. So by the way, guys, if you haven't seen the first episode, the last one, we started going into some of the basic things about product research. So make sure you go back and check that out if you haven't already. So a few more things about good criteria is that products cannot be prohibited by Amazon. So these are things like, you know, a lot of marijuana products you can't sell on Amazon, you know, like guns, obviously you can't sell those on Amazon, but there's a lot of ones that you wouldn't actually think would be prohibited as well, like some really kind of obscure ones. So definitely go and take a look at their prohibited list. We'll have a link to that in the show notes here. You can just find it on Amazon's website. But that's a big no-no. You can imagine that if you spent thousands of dollars on getting, you know, a couple thousand units or 1,000 units into Amazon, only to realize that it's prohibited and they're probably going to destroy your product anyways. Another one is patented products. This can be a little bit trickier. So, a lot of products, it's actually kind of hard to find the patents for these products. So you really got to do your due diligence and make sure that whatever product you order isn't patented, because that can get you in a lot of legal trouble. Like, not only will your product get taken down off of Amazon for violating the patent, but you can actually have, you know, someone try to sue you for violating their patent, and you know that you get yourself in a lot of trouble that way. So we recommend staying away from prohibited items, patented items, or anything that's really highly regulated to you. Like, make sure you're following FDA regulations. There are certain items have very specific regulations surrounding them. So do your homework when it comes to this kind of stuff, guys.
And like, to add on to that, like, patent products that you want to stay away from are really big brand items. You know, a lot of times when actually there's this incident that happened where, you know, I got everything printed. I actually ordered a product and printed everything else. And the designer, actually the manufacturer, told us that, you know, we need to redo and remodel all the inventory, mainly because a specific design on the product itself is patented. You know, their design itself is really patented to that specific brand, you know, and we don't want to be able to, you know, tread those dangerous waters and whatnot. And really big one are like iPhone cases and whatnot with an Apple logo. And that's just a big, big no-no.
Oh, totally. And guys, you'd be amazed what you can actually patent. Like, one crazy example here, it's actually a product I used to sell, is stainless steel beer growlers. There's actually three separate patents on stainless steel beer growlers that all pretty much patent the same thing, like very small variations. But the United States government has actually allowed all three of these patents. So it's actually funny. It's public in the media right now. Two of these companies are actually suing each other in violation of each other's patents. So you guys would be really surprised what is actually patentable. Nothing about these products was at all unique, but they still managed to get a patent on it. So do your research for the patents. The next step here, guys, is trends. So make sure that the trends show that the price isn't being driven down over a long time or is a trend bubble. So, you know, one recent example here was fidget spinners. You know, no one knew about fidget spinners, then all of a sudden it became really trendy and super hot and it was making a bunch of money. But, you know, as most people predicted, that trend dropped off just as fast as it went up. You know, all of a sudden, everyone's trying to sell fidget spinners, and then the price gets driven down really low. And, you know, before you know it, people are trying to sell these things for $1.50 a piece just to actually get some of their money back, because no one wants fidget spinners anymore. It's a big trend bubble. So a few ways you can look at this is Helium 10 has a great free Chrome extension where you can actually look at the trend history. And it'll show you what the price has been doing over a long time. So if the price started really high 6 months ago and it's been slowly getting lower on Amazon for a lot of your competitors' products, that's probably a good reason you want to stay away from it. You know, it's an indicator that it's on the downside of that trend bubble. And what's another good tool for that?
I mean, Google Trends is very, very powerful tool as well. You know, like it actually tells you what people are searching for the duration of time. You can actually see whether your product is a seasonal product and whatnot when you can have the average of the yearly search results. And also, you know, just like you said, the trend bubble is huge. You know, you don't want to be catching the wave down on the fidget spinners, right? Because, you know, basically you're just not going to have any money to be made. You're going to be sitting on thousands of dollars of inventory.
Oh, totally. And, you know, you can make a lot of money on the trends. Actually, I have one friend who, you know, he sold nearly $1 million or maybe just over $1 million worth of fidget spinners because he got in at the right time. He got in when the trend was going up. So if you look on Google Trends or the Helium 10 Chrome extension, that trend was going up. It was on the up and up. That's the right time to get in. If you're at the bottom of that curve, if you think you're nearing the top of that curve, or if it's actually on the downside, you just want to stay away from there. Yeah. So,
and as a new seller, you definitely want to stay away from any of these trend bubbles because you just got to act super fast. You need to know when to draw out and when to actually, you know, cut your losses and whatnot, right? So to start off, definitely doing your due diligence to figure out whether you're buying into a trend or this is going to be evergreen product that you're going to be setting yourself up for success for years to come.
Oh, super, super key, guys. Another thing is you don't want to be getting into a product that all your competitors are constantly running promotions or lightning deals to stay ranked onto page one. So what a lightning deal is, you can pay Amazon $150. They'll put your product on the special promotions page for a big discount. And people go onto that page, just like right on the front page of Amazon, and they can get limited time promotions. So there'll be like a little countdown timer next to your product, along with how many of these deals are left and like how good of a deal it is. And this really drives a lot of sales. But, you know, a lot of sellers use this to actually stay ranked on page one of Amazon. And if they're constantly doing this all the time, they're constantly running these promos at a big discount just to stay ranked, that's an indication that you're going to have to do the same thing just to actually be on page one. And, you know, if everyone's constantly running these promotions, then the money obviously goes way down because you're selling it for way less on a consistent basis.
Mm-hmm. Just a little reminder that we're going to be putting up the links for Google Trends and Helium 10 at our show notes at actualizefreedom.com/4. Now, yeah, let's jump right into this. Like, reviews, how many is too many and how many is too little? You know, some of the competitors out there have less than 50 reviews and still sell very, very well, while others have thousands of reviews. Like, what is it that really matter? Is it the reviews? Is it not the reviews? I personally think that it's the star rating that matters. You know, if many competitors have a 3.5 star rating or less on average, you're going to be able to differentiate your products, really go in, dive in deep, read all the reviews. Why is it that they have 3.5? You know, what are some of the features that people are complaining about? And these are the gold mines. These are the nuggets where you're going to be able to study the products and how to improve the products. So when you go and talk to your manufacturer, you're going to tell them to fix these bad features. So for example, you know, if you're holding a pair of scissors, you know, they have no grip. People are complaining about the fact that this pair of scissors keeps sliding. You can easily talk to your manufacturer and input and have that grip installed in the pair of scissors and sell the same pair of scissors out there. Now, your rating would increase and naturally you're going to be able to rank much higher than the competitors.
Oh, absolutely. That's a really good tactic. And when it comes to numbers of reviews, guys, there's some kind of weird psychological things surrounding the numbers here. So let's go over a couple quick numbers. So people don't like to buy products that have like zero reviews or like 5 or 10 reviews. It's just like not enough social proof. They see it and they're like, that's kind of untested. I'm not so sure that that's a good product, right? But as soon as you're over 20 reviews, seems to be kind of a magic number. The numbers start to matter a little bit less. So, you know, the difference between 20 and 50 reviews in the customer's mind doesn't seem to be a whole lot. But that being said, once you get up over like 100 reviews, a couple hundred reviews, or like some of your competitors have like over 1,000 reviews, then it's going to be much harder because that's such a big piece of social proof. If your competitor has an average star rating of 4.5 and they have over 1,000 reviews, it's going to take you a long time to get over 1,000 reviews. And, you know, it's going to be hard to overcome that social proof. So when you're looking for a good product, One thing I like to look for is some competitors have less than 50 reviews and are still selling well. There can be some competitors that have a couple hundred reviews, 500 reviews, you know, up to 1,000, you know, a couple of them. But if the entire page one is filled with people that have 1,000 reviews, 500 reviews, 600 reviews, it's going to be pretty hard for you to compete when it comes to social proof.
Mm-hmm, for sure. When it comes down to that, we also need to be able to learn how to analyze the quality of our competitors. You know, look for two or three people on page one with great listings. These are the people that are optimizing the keywords, have proper images and proper copywriting. You know, everything is optimized and whatnot. And then other sellers with bad ones are still doing well. You know, and then we look at the page two results. Are there anyone that are having well-optimized listings there? You know, are they using any promotions or graphic designed images? You know, obviously they need to know what they're doing, and we need to be able to analyze our competitors to know whether this product that you're planning to sell is highly competitive or not.
Oh, absolutely. So just to touch on that a little bit more here, what we're looking for with the quality of the competitors, we're looking at things like, is their title optimized? Do they have a lot of like really accurate keywords in their title, or did they just throw up like two or three words? Are their pictures very good? You know, a really unoptimized listing would have only two pictures that are just really poor quality, but a really optimized listing would have all the images filled out, like seven to nine images, some beautiful graphic design done in there, you know, beautiful photography, and then their bullet points, you know, they look really good, well-done headings, and it's written really well. So that's some of the ways to kind of analyze the quality of your competitors there. Another thing to look at is, are they responding to their reviews and questions on their listing? Are they actually actively monitoring it? And so the biggest indicator of that is if you see a one-star review, have they responded to it and trying to remedy it for the customer? Because if you see a bunch of one-star reviews that no one's responding to, that means they don't really care about their Amazon. They're not really paying that much attention to it, and they're probably a weak competitor that you can go in and beat and do a better job at competing with.
Mm-hmm. And we see that a lot of competitors out there are actually, you know, manufacturers from China. Their English is not their first language, so the copy is definitely not as good. You know, the quality of the pictures are not as good. So if you're able to find a product that has high sales volume, but then majority of the competitors out there are manufacturers from China, then this is a really, really good space to be in, because you know for a fact that if you have better product pictures, if you have better copy, you have better keyword research, you're going to be able to rank on the first page before them, and sales would definitely organically come.
Oh, absolutely. And like, this is something we're going to be talking about a little bit more, guys, but honestly, this could take up an entire episode in itself of how to really analyze the quality of your competitors. But out of all of the metrics, I'd say this is one of the most underrated ones and also one of the most important ones, because, you know, a lot of people, they'll tell you the numbers like, oh, look for under 50 reviews and this ratio of reviews to sales and all this stuff. And, you know, that stuff's good, but you should be basing most of your product research decisions on analyzing the quality of your competitors. And you really can't quantify that except for, you know, subjectively looking and seeing like how many of your competitors actually know what they're doing, you know? So based on all the indicators that we went over, like the quality of their listing, how well they're monitoring it, if you notice any other kind of tricky tactics that they're doing, come up with your own analysis of how good all the competitors are within that space.
Great. Now that we talked a lot about, you know, analyzing the competitors and the basic criteria and whatnot, now how do we set ourselves up for success? You know, for us, me and Danny, we love setting weekly goals. You know, we have our spreadsheets, we have the same time each week, we check in with each other, and we monitor our personal and business goals and how we did, and we make new goals that we want to be able to attain. We keep each other accountable. You know, I think it's a really great way to achieve goals that you have set for yourself. And, you know, if you don't have any accountability buddies and whatnot, definitely go out there and talk to your buddy. You know, hey, every Monday morning, you know, wake up an hour earlier, have that meeting with your friends, set your weekly goals. You know, you work backwards from your goal, and for each week you set action items which you achieve, and when you can achieve those, then you can achieve the bigger goal that you want to have. You know, ultimately we all want to be able to build something for our freedom, you know, for our freedom, either financial freedom, whether it be the freedom to travel whenever we want to. You know, at the end of the day, it is about setting weekly goals, and it's about attaining these goals to get there.
Oh, totally. This is so important too, because it's really the only way to be self-aware of how you're doing and kind of monitor how you're doing and staying on track, because it's so easy to just get caught up in the hustle and you're working for 2 weeks, 3 weeks at a time before you realize that you've kind of gone off track and you're really not meeting the goals that you're actually trying to go for. So on a weekly basis, I find is a good cadence for this. Really allows you to, you know, kind of see, it's like, okay, so maybe this week I didn't actually meet this goal. So what do I need to change? What should I focus on more this week? You know, what should I maybe not focus on this week and, you know, put off till another week? So really important for staying on track. And another really important point here is don't limit this to just business goals. Have your personal goals in there as well, because your business performance is directly tied to your personal life as well. So, you know, if you're really lacking in your personal life, you're just going to hit burnout. You're not going to actually be able to achieve your business goals. So set yourself some personal goals. You know, like if there's something you really want to achieve there, set those goals and work them into your weekly analysis as well.
It's one thing to hear it. It's another thing to take action on it and improve your life. You know, look up Amazon's restricted products list and try to use Google patents to search for patents. You know, download the Helium 10 Chrome extension to easily see the trends. We're going to have this link in our show notes at actualizefreedom.com/4. You know, start analyzing listings and see how your competitors are like. You know, the more you look at it, the more it becomes apparent to you whether your competitors are fully optimized or not.
Yeah, and I'm going to have my goal setting spreadsheet for you guys to actually download. So you guys are going to get to see exactly how I like to see things. I'm a big nerd for this kind of stuff, honestly. So like I've tried a whole bunch of different styles and this is what I like to do best. So make sure you go check that out at actualizefreedom.com/4. On the next episode, we're going to talk about more product research. It's so important that this is going to be the third episode straight that we're talking about this. And this is where we really dive deep into the numbers. You know, what are the key numbers that we need to know and see if a product is a great opportunity? So with that said, thank you guys for joining us and we'll see you on the next episode of Actualize Freedom.
Peace.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Actualize Freedom with Wilson and Danny online at actualizefreedom.com. If you like today's episode, please review and subscribe, and we'll catch you next time.